to live righteously.
Hey, it's me, Richie T, and it's time for another episode of The Culture Hall. It's episode number 162. In the second and third block, I visit with Eric Moutsos, who is a Salt Lake City police officer who was asked to be in the motorcycle brigade for the Gay Pride Parade in Salt Lake City in 2014. He tried to trade out of it and subsequently kind of lost his job. You can hear his story here in the second and third block. I should go back and already say, and then chose... after he was put on administrative leave to leave his job. And you'll hear his exact story here in the second and third block coming up in just a minute. But I encourage you, if you like what you hear, you can find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/theculturalhall. You can follow us on Twitter at The Cultural Hall. Find us on Google Plus and Instagram. All are at The Cultural Hall. We do the Pinterest as well. And you can find all of this and many more great content at theculturalhall.com. If you have questions you'd like to ask me, you can always hit me up, richie@theculturalhall.com. Episode suggestions, and as always, with any of these episodes, you can leave your comments, whether it be anonymous or leave your name with it in accordance with this episode. So go ahead and do that and enjoy the second and third block with Eric Moutsos, a former Salt Lake City police officer of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and joining me via the telephone, it's Eric Moutsos, a former Salt Lake City police officer. You might be seeing this in the news now. He was put on leave and then later resigned after he objected to riding in the motorcycle brigade at the front of last year's Gay Pride Parade, and is now speaking out against what he believes was a violation of his religious liberties. Thank you for joining me, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That little quote from Huffington Post, that little thing that I just read as your that serves as your introduction. So definitely something that's super topical right now from the LDS Church a couple of weeks ago coming out and saying, hey, we want to be able to have religious liberty to even today and yesterday, as you've been talking about. Hey, you know what? I want to talk about how this happened. So let's start back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a lifetime member of the church, of the LDS Church?
Kind of, yeah. I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but I was quite the hellion when I was younger. I didn't actually pray about my faith sincerely until I was around 19 years old.
Okay.
And so, you know, I've been on both sides, you know, spiritually speaking, and so I have been a member of the church, but I didn't always live up to what the standards of the church are.
So was that like not going to church, or you'd go kind of begrudgingly through the motions because parents said this is what you're going to do?
No, my parents were fantastic growing up. They never pushed me into it. We would go. You know, sometimes we weren't super active when I was growing up, but we have all, including my family, have found a deeper relationship with God as of late. So
then 19 comes around. Is it because culturally speaking, it's like, hey, are you going to serve a mission, Eric? Is that what kind of brought you to finally question what your faith was?
Yeah, somebody came. We're actually doing these backyard boxing fights. It's really funny because in our school, I went to Taylorsville High School, and we did these kind of backyard brawls with gloves, you know, and, mm-hmm. and everybody would go in the back and, you know, pay money, and it was kind of like chicken fighting. But so I fought this kid, or it was a guy from my school, and the next day he came to my house, and he had a Book of Mormon in his hand, and he said, look, man, we had our fight yesterday, but I had a strong impression to come talk to you about this book. His name is Michael Felipe. And he said, I just want you to read it. And so it did kind of, you know, that kind of crossroads. I just thought about it. I said, you know what? I really want to know one way or the other, because I think it's important that I should at least ask and do, you know, there's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that talks about, you know, asking with a sincere heart. And that's what happened. And I did. And I had never felt anything like it before. It wasn't a self-induced feeling. It was a spiritual confirmation. What I believed God was telling me, this was the path to follow.
So then did you decide, opt to serve a mission?
I tried to. I went to my bishop and, you know, started to go through that process. And he's like, whoa, 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 we got to, you know, we got to look at this slowly, you know, because there was a lot of things that I had been doing in my life that weren't in accordance. And so I did try to go on a mission. I went for, you know, maybe a little over a month, and I ended up coming home because it was, I don't want to say it wasn't for me, but just for at that time, I just don't feel like I was in a place to be able to put others before myself. And I realized that's one of the reasons why I came home, because it's a selfless mission, and I wasn't at that point. But later, you know, I know everything happens for a reason, because a couple months after that, I met my wife. So,
So give people an idea of how old are you now then?
I'm 33.
Okay, so we're looking, that's 12, 13 years ago that mission experience happens. You meet your wife a couple of months later. So then, briefly, just so people can get an idea, give us an overview of the last 10, 12 years.
I was actually pursuing a country music career, which is funny. I entered into a contest called Nashville Star. I'm not very good by any means, but I've seen a couple country artists where I'm like, hey, I could do what he's doing.
Is it essentially like American Idol, but country music?
Yeah, it's just a kind of a, yeah, it's just not as big as American Idol, but it's a country version of it. And I became a regional finalist in Utah out here. What happened was somehow Evander Holyfield, the five-time heavyweight champ of the world, he found out about me through a mutual friend, and he called me. And he said, hey, this is Evander Holyfield. I just want to let you know I got a good feeling about you.
Oh, really?
And he flew me and my brother out to Atlanta, and he had a record label. And so he put me on his record label for about 3 years, and that's right at that same time period when I was getting married, and we were trying to figure out what to do. But yeah, that's what I thought I was going to do for my life. And then, you know, once we kind of came to a decision, my wife and I, about is this really the lifestyle that I want to live right now, we decided that it wasn't. And then we had our first child. I went on a ride along. What that is like a police. You go with a police officer kind of sit in the shotgun, and you just kind of observe, you know, out on a real patrol call. Mm-hmm. He was in my church, and so he took me out one night, and it was one of the funnest things I've ever done.
Was it something you'd ever considered doing as a profession before, or was it just your ward being like, hey, dude, come ride along?
Yeah, come ride with me. He was on the SWAT team and the gang unit down in Salt Lake City. I went on that ride along, and I went home, and it was like 4 a.m. and I woke my wife up and I said, sweetie, that was one of the funnest things I've ever done. She looked at me and she said, you'd be a good cop. And so that's kind of how I got into police work. And I just fell into it. And so, and then kind of the rest is history as far as my career went.
So you then you went through the academy, and then did you instantly become with Salt Lake City Police Department, or did you go elsewhere and then want to be assigned in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, I had applied there, and I was applying at different agencies. I put myself through the academy down at the community college, and then finally they picked me up. And so that's, I went to Salt Lake City in July of 2007.
Okay. So then prior to this incident, that is, you know, making news now. So you'd been working for the Salt Lake City Police Department for 7 years.
Yes.
Give me an idea of, you know, some of the things that maybe that you experienced or the things that you enjoyed about the job. Give me an idea of your time serving for Salt Lake City Police Department.
I loved it. When I first started out, you know, I remember thinking, like, when I put my badge on and go to work, I felt like, you know, I was making a difference in the world, you know, because, and other officers will know this too, but, you know, it's not always fun, but when you can be put in a position that can truly, truly help somebody's life, there's not a better feeling. Like, you know that you were dispatched to that specific call for whatever reason, and you know that you were supposed to, you know, I call it divine design, mm-hmm. that it was supposed to happen. And there's no greater feeling. You know, when somebody comes to you after, you know, you've even arrested them and they say, thank you for arresting me. Thank you for how you treated me. There's no greater feeling.
You know, it's interesting to hear you talk about kind of that divine intervention, that divine play that would come into play with your job. I know from speaking with other like EMTs and police officers, they talk about, from a spiritual sense, seeing miracles as they're out on duty.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. I mean, a lot of people want to just say that there's coincidences, but there's no way. I mean, I've seen it. You know, one instance that I had, I remember there a lady was murdered by her husband, and her body was thrown into the Jordan River.
Ugh.
And I was one of the officers who was dispatched to the original call. And so I'd been thinking about this, like, you know, and so his name came out in the press, you know, like, this is who we're looking for. And I just kept thinking about it, you know, and in my mind, I'm just praying, like, where can we find this guy? Where can we find this guy? And I remember I was riding with my field training officer at the time because I was in training, and a thought just came to me that said, he's in this building. And so I told the person, I said, hey, we need to check this building right now. And she says, okay, let's check it. So we went in there, and I'm looking, and it was one of the homeless shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking people, hey, have you seen this guy? Well, this arm reaches over me, and it's one of the servers, you know, of the food.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around and he says, hey, have you guys found my wife yet? And it was him.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, sir, you need to turn around, put your hands behind your back. And he later confessed to murdering his wife. And so I have hundreds of those stories, you know, and other officers it happens all the time, you know, and I believe that we are working for a higher cause, and some people may want to define it in a different way, and that's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I believe. So,
and I do want to get to the religious liberty here in just a second, but I do have this question for you: is that attitude prevalent among the here in Salt Lake with, I would imagine, a good portion of the Salt Lake City Police Department being members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Is that something that is often discussed? Is it something that is kind of hush-hush and everyone has sort of the same feelings?
Sorry, do you have any more?
No, that's...
When I first started, you know, it's funny because when I was in the Salt Lake Community College Academy, we had my first orientation to law enforcement. It was a chief of police that came and spoke to us, you know, and he said, do you know who you work for? You know, and everybody's saying, well, we work for the people, you know, we work for the chief, you know, we work for the community, everything like that. And he just stopped everybody dead in his tracks. And he said, you work for God. And he said, remember that. Always remember that. And the spirit touched me at that moment, like, oh my gosh, like that's incredible that he just said that. Mm-hmm. You know, and so starting off, you know, yeah, people talk about it all the time, but late, as of late, it's starting to get into this really weird, if you even bring it up, now you're now bringing, you know, the whole idea of separation of church and state comes in. You know, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that. Mm-hmm. And my whole thing is, look, the separation of the church and state was never intended to take God out of anything. It was intended so that the state wouldn't force one particular belief on the people. And that's ultimately why we left England, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds of years ago, because the state was forcing it. But what the irony is, it seems as though irreligion, meaning no religion, is now becoming the forced state religion. And I just want to make it clear that not believing nothing is still a belief.
Right. It's still a belief in something, even though that something is nothing.
And yeah, correct. You know, it's like I'm now subjected to get hemmed up, you know, with this idea. I'm now subject to get hemmed up for speaking about God reverently a few times, but all at the same time, my coworkers can speak his name in vain hundreds of times, and nobody has a second thought. And so I think it's scary.
I want to take a break for just a quick second, and then I want to come back in the third block, and let's just dive into religious liberty, to homosexual and gay, lesbian, the Pride Parade. Let's get into the hot button stuff, and we'll get here in just a second in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Many of our customers are computer experts with decades of experience that are so smart they know how to build their own computers with their own bare hands. Yet they buy their computers from PC Laptops because of one thing: the PC Laptops desktop lifetime parts and labor warranty. If a video card blows up, normally you'd have to mail it to Chumbawamba for weeks to get service. Imagine having your computer down for weeks. Experts buy from PC Laptops because time is money. And if you have a part fail on your PC Laptops desktop, we will replace it forever for free. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops locations. While supplies last, $7.99, you can't beat that deal. Please visit us at any one of our locations right now. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers with a lifetime warranty for just $7.99.
It's time for the third block of the Cultural Hall, and still with Eric Moutsos. All right, let's just get into it. So when we were talking on the phone before we started this interview, you told me something very interesting. People that live in the state of Utah and maybe elsewhere would know about an incident that happened, I want to say, in 2011, about gay men kissing on church property on the Main Street Plaza in downtown Salt Lake. Is that 2011?
It was 2009, I believe.
Oh, 2009. And you were one of the officers involved in that situation, correct?
Yeah, correct. I was, you know, ironically, the one that was dispatched to that call. I was the initial officer on that call.
So because I know time is short as you're doing a bunch of interviews, just give me an idea of that, of what that situation was, how you handled it, and then we'll move into the most recent occurrence.
Sure. I was dispatched on the call where two men were kissing on Temple Square. They were asked to leave. They refused to go. Church security and them got in some kind of a scuffle. Church security put them in handcuffs and then called us. When I arrived, I immediately took them out of handcuffs. I got their side of the story. You know, they said, yeah, we told them that we didn't want to go. And so I explained, hey, look, this is private property. You're going to be issued a citation for it. Mm-hmm. One of the men, and by the way, they were nice people once we started talking. But I just think emotions got flared up, at least with church security and them. Mm-hmm. But one of them was seemed intoxicated, you know, mm-hmm. and so I walked them off the property, I didn't go hands on as far as, you know, detaining them. We talked for 20 minutes, you know, and afterwards, you know, we just explained like, hey, this is what the property owner wants. You know, this is, you know, just like I'd handle any other call, any other trespassing call.
So the issue that it was gay men kissing, not the issue. Trespassing was the issue.
Correct. And so, you know, they shook our hands. They said, thank you for how you guys have been, me and my partner. And it was incredible. I thought it was a great experience because, you know, later I was commended by a couple of my command staff that just said, hey, you handled that great. You know, and then the media reported, officers report sides with gay couple. And so I'm glad you brought it up because what's being said by my department right now is that, look, what happens if he gets called, you know, me particularly, what happens if he gets called to somebody who needs help, you know, who is gay or lesbian? Is he gonna help them? And I just want to make it clear that I have been there to help. And I would take a bullet for you. I was there when the governor put the stay on marriage and the LGBT rallied at the city and county building. I was there to protect that event. And there was, you know, maybe 10 of us there, but I was one of them. And so I just want to make it clear that I will protect you.
So then what's the difference now? This issue that happened last June, the first weekend in June is always the Gay Pride Parade. You're part of a motorcycle squad who, as people know, that motorcycle brigade or whatever you want to call it, performs as part of the parade. Typically, it's towards the beginning, you know, sirens wailing and everything like that. You're part of that squad. You're asked to do it, and you're saying, no.
Yeah, well, what happened was when I found out that we were going to be doing actual maneuvers in the parade, I went to another officer and said, hey, buddy, will you switch me? I said, will you just switch me spots? And he understood. He knew my belief behind it. You know, I went to several of the command staff and told them, hey, look, this is just goes against my faith, you know, to be an actual, you know, person in this parade. It looks like we and I are advocating this.
Okay.
And so I said, look, I'd feel the same way if this was an abortion parade. I said, I'll protect it, but I just don't want to be in front of it looking like that we and I support it, because I believe that the police, we need to be neutral. You know, that's one of the things that we should be as law enforcement and as government, is we should be neutral on these issues. We shouldn't come in and say, we advocate this, we don't advocate that. And so essentially I got a switch, which is in our policy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We do switches all the time.
That's permissible to do. It's not out of the ordinary say, hey, buddy, take my place for me.
Yeah. Yeah. If a senior guy wants a better spot, they'll say, hey, I want that spot. And then you're bumped to you know, not as a cozy of a, you know, traffic position.
Yeah, protecting the restrooms,
whatever.
Yeah.
And so, at that point, they sent an email, you know, maybe it seemed like an hour later after I had got a trade. You know, there were several people who heard me get a trade with another officer.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, an email comes out, and at the bottom of the email, it says, unfortunately, there will be no switching.
Hmm.
And so I looked at it later that night, and I'm like, my stomach just dropped, you know, and I went to my direct supervisor and said, what is this? And he says, if I was in charge, you guys would be able to switch. Like, mm-hmm. as long as it's covered. And he just said, talk to him, you know, talk to the lieutenant. And so that's what I tried to do. I tried to call him, and he wouldn't answer my calls. And that night, I couldn't go to bed. You know, my mind was just saying no. I've denied my conscience too many times to know when it's screaming at you. You know, it first warns you as a friend before it punishes you as a judge. And mm-hmm. I know this, you know, so, mm-hmm. and I still go against it sometimes, you know, but I thought I need to say something. And so I sent the email, said, look, I don't hate anybody. I said, I'm just very uncomfortable. Can you please allow me to switch? And so, he sent an email back to me that said, and I also said, you know, as far as it looks like we're in support. So then he sent an email back saying, unless I'm sadly mistaken, we do support the LGBT. And I my heart dropped because I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And I called my direct supervisor, said, what should I do? And he said, just apologize, do the parade, and we'll talk about it later. So I sent another email. Sorry how I approached this. I will be there for my assignment. I will be there to do I was going to do the parade.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, they bring me into the office. I take my badge and my gun for discrimination. And so I went home and, you know, they drove me home and took all my equipment. And
so is that like being fired or is that just like an administrative
leave?
It
was on administrative leave, you know, and I was asking my sergeant, I'm like, what's the city thinking? And he says, look, they're thinking, what if you ever have to deal with a gay person again?
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew, you know, I just knew it was over. Like, I'm just thinking in my mind, there's no way I'm going to come out of this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, it was blasted to the whole media. Officer refuses parade. Like, this is supposed to be an internal thing,
mm-hmm.
but now it's all of a sudden national news,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the district attorney in Salt Lake came out and said that I needed to be in a different profession.
And that's that, as far as being a police officer, yeah?
At that time, yeah, I was done. And it was one of the worst things. It felt like a death, you know, because I love serving and protecting, you know, and I love interacting with people of all different faiths. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's okay that we disagree. That's what our nation is founded upon. The founding fathers disagreed with a lot of things, and that's okay. We can still love each other and disagree, you know, but the fact that what's one of the lies that's being told is if you disagree with somebody's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. And it's just not true.
How do you feel about homosexuality?
You know, I don't agree with it, but that's not my place to you know, I don't really want to get into that because that's kind of irrelevant as far as my, you know, I don't agree with it, but that's your choice to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you do, you do. But I will protect you, but I just ask not to be in your parade. And I also want to say that I believe that there are people that are discriminated against that are gay, and it's not right. And I agree with the church's stance that there needs to be like housing and employment laws that protect them. But to be clear, there needs to be religious protections, and that's one of the reasons why I came out with my story because what's happening around the nation. You know, like this florist up in Washington, the judge just ruled, basically, you have got to choose between your faith and your job. And that is not American. I was sworn to protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States, and that includes my own faith, and that includes my own belief. And to say that I can't have my belief at work, then I couldn't be the person that I try to be without my belief. I couldn't do it, especially in law enforcement. I need God in my life, and I call upon Him all the time. And so to be in fear that, you know, we now wear these body cameras all the time, to be in fear that if I accidentally call out His name, I'm going to be now, it could be terminated.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even believe that it's happened. I can't believe it's happening in our country.
I think that, you know, it's an interesting perspective where people come at you saying, well, then you would be hesitant to, well, let me back up. Because to me, as I hear it, I kind of reside on the part where it isn't, it's almost like an extracurricular activity of the job.
It's not even a part of my 40-hour work week.
You know?
This was a part-time event.
And so to me, just to reiterate, was there ever in the time that you served for the Salt Lake City Police Department where you were hesitant to serve anyone?
No. Okay, when you say serve, what do you mean by
well,
being
I mean,
in the parade?
I mean like, no. I mean like, you know, accidents and going out on calls and things
not.
Like that.
Look, I caught people doing things that were way against my faith, And I treated them almost with more love because I just wanted to show them, hey, look, you know, people that were alcoholics and drug addicts, you know, I completely disagree with it. But I tried to show them, like, look, you can overcome this, you know. You can overcome whatever it is, whatever problems you may be having, you can overcome it. And I'm a witness to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have addictions, you know, and I still do, and not like drug addictions, but we all are human, you know. We all have, you know. I'm nowhere near perfect, you mm-hmm. know, and that's one of the misconceptions too. It's just because I have a belief that I'm somehow perfect, and I'm a sinner like anyone else is a sinner.
So what now then? Because you don't work for the Salt Lake City Police Department anymore. You've come out in the last 48 hours about what your story is saying. Hey, listen, I said that I would still do it. The situation was as such that I felt like I had to retire or quit your job. So
yeah.
So now what?
Right now I'm just trying to do what I feel is right. I don't know what's in store for me. You know, I got my Utah auto and home insurance license,
mm-hmm.
but I am employed right now. I don't want to talk about that
sure.
specifically, but it's hard. It's hard to make ends meet right now. I'm not going to lie,
mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't making what I was making at the police department, and I'm just trying to do the right thing. One of the reasons why I wanted to come out with my message is to just say, look. We have got to unify because one of the problems is that it's divisive. This whole thing is divisive because it makes it sound like everybody who is gay wants people that may disagree with them out of work. And that's not true. I've had LGBT community come and reach out to me and say, hey, we agree with you. That shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate them and I thank them because, what I'm trying to say is that's the lie that's being told is that all of the people that are in the gay community want people out of workplace, but there's a very small minority out of the LGBT people that say you can't disagree or this is what's going to happen to you. You know, the Mozilla, the CEO for that Firefox Mozilla guy, mm-hmm. how he was run out of his employment. You know, the fire chief out in Atlanta that wrote a book on his personal time about, you know, morality and marriage. He doesn't have a job anymore. And that's happening everywhere in the United States, and it's got to stop.
I agree. I appreciate you coming on and telling your story and being able to share those things, not only from a spiritual sense, how you know, the spiritual experiences that you've had with it, but also your conviction to what you believe, to be right. And it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to hear how it seems that you, are being, I guess, what punished is a good word for it, for staying to your convictions and that all this has happened, that it can't just be that you could choose. You understand on the other side the argument that if there would be hesitancy to serve anyone, why that would be a tremendous issue.
Yeah, but the issue is not about service and protection.
Right.
And that's what they need to understand. This is about celebration. And this was about something completely different. And I think that it's wrong how organizations will use, you know, these are a lot of these people aren't LGBT, you know, they're not gay. A lot of the people that are in these government positions, but I think that some of them are using them as a political way, but what they're really doing is dividing mm-hmm. even more. And it's not fair, you know, it's not fair to them because, you know, when my story came out, so many people were so mad at the LGBT. So many people were so mad at me. It's like, look, this is not the truth. The truth is that we're all human beings, and we all believe different things. And And we just need to come together with the things that we do agree with and build from there, because we're always going to have disagreements. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have our thoughts, our internal thoughts and beliefs, but we can still respect each other and disagree. We can love each other and disagree.
If they came back to you now and said, hey, listen, we did mess up, you can come back, would you do it?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's the path for me. I'd love to sit down with them and try to explain, but I just don't know if that conversation, I don't know if they're going to have anything responsible to say at this point. So I don't know.
I've got to let you go because I know you have other stuff that you need to do, but there is three questions that we ask everyone who steps into the Culture Hall. A little bit lighter, so let's lighten this up at the end. Number one is, do you have a calling in your ward right now? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I do. I teach gospel doctrine.
Nice. So we're enjoying the New Testament. That's what I'm teaching too. Second question is if you could pick a calling for yourself within the church, either one that exists or make up one, what would it be and why?
I really like my calling right now. I love teaching about Christ's life. That's one of my favorite things to do. And so I'm really happy with what I'm doing.
And then the final question that I have, and then I'll let you go, is what is your favorite part of your faith?
I think the favorite part of it is I don't know how I'm going to explain this, but I like when I kind of get put in check by God. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes we think that we're so right on things, mm-hmm. and we think that we're, you know, like when I try to discipline my kids, you know, I always like hear his voice saying, you're doing the same thing, you know, you're doing the same exact thing. And so I like that through my faith, I find all the imperfections of myself and try to work on it. And I think that's what anybody can do if they just ask, you know, what is it, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? You know, and I think that we'll always get customized challenges to our particular life, and that's what ultimately leads us to grow and to become more like Him, is by recognizing that we have problems, all of us, no matter who you are, you've got a problem, and so I like that about my faith, is because it makes me grow every single day.
Eric, we appreciate you taking a few minutes. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
All right, have a good day.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.